Blog Talk Radio.
Stuck home, got this feeling down deep in the soul, and I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needing a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way.
And good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. You know, I've been doing this a very, very long time, and I still get as much joy as the first time that I ever did this on the air. While I've not made a boatload of money, most of the time I probably don't make any, but it's a way of connecting with people again, across the country and around the world, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine and a colleague who said, you know, it's just really interesting how some people give everything that they got to somebody else, and they feel a sense of gratitude doing it. And I kind of fit in that mold where I have given up maybe a little too much. And it has cost me, but I wouldn't trade the experiences of putting a smile on somebody's face who was down, feeling like the whole world had turned against them. And I believe through my Creator, I was the vessel to be able to remind them that they are loved and that they are still very, very unique. So for all of you folks out there who happen to be stuck on being able to care for somebody else and sometimes putting yourself to the side, I salute you folks. Now, why am I playing that particular song? Because as I was consulting with Dr. Clark over a couple of days ago, she said, it's about being stuck. And I scratched my head and I go, okay, it's not my job to ask her questions of why. It's to support what she's doing because the end result is about what we do in common, which is trying to help somebody else. Have you ever been stuck? Well, I know I have. And but the good part, I'm hoping that I've not been stuck on stupid. That's a whole other ballgame. But that's why I played Lionel Richie, Just Stuck On You, give us a warm, fuzzy feeling. But I'll take us out later on with something hopefully a little bit more inspiring. But in the meantime, our show is brought to you by Flashback Academy. That's where our military people who are stuck on the side of the road can get some help to come out of that and be able to learn a marketable trade, dust the dust off, and take on one last mission, which is saving themselves. And who knows, some of our veterans might also help save some of our former foster care youth who had been so-called taken care of in the system, and that after they've aged out, they wind up on the street, jail, or even possibly dead, God forbid. So if we can do something for them by offering Flashback, that's what we're going to do. And some people say, you know, you kind of stuck on that. Okay, and at least I'm trying to do something. I know what side I'm on, okay, rather than do nothing at all and point fingers at somebody else. Folks, join me, if you will, by donating a dollar or find out more about what we're doing. Flashback Academy, $ for our Cash App, or write me at flashbksllc@gmail.com. Okay, I'm out of breath. I hope Dr. Clark is there because let's make some sense out of this. Dr. Clark, I'm stuck on flashbacks. I want to be able to help. Is there something wrong with me?
Good evening, everyone. Morning, good afternoon, good day, wherever you may be joining us from, whatever part of this world you might be in. It sounds like Dr. Brown has gotten a hold of some Wheaties or something because he is full of fire tonight. So yes, Dr. Brown, we are going to dive into our conversation about feeling stuck in the grieving process. Can you be stuck? Absolutely. Just as if you can sing, grief is no different. And oftentimes when we find ourselves stuck in the grieving process, we're not even aware of it consciously that that's what's going on. Some time ago, when we started our conversations together, I went over those 16 different types of grief and loss. And one of those types that we kind of got stuck on and we stayed there for a little bit was that inhibited grief. And we talked about that inhibited grief, meaning that we weren't really showing any obvious or outward forms of our grief. And this usually takes place over a long period of time and results in not being able to effectively move through those stages of grief that we talked about. So we're talking about that anger, we're talking about denial, we're talking about bargaining, the depression, and then the acceptance. When we find that we're not able to quite get through those stages, and remember, they don't happen in a linear fashion, we can find ourselves vacillating between those stages. But sometimes we might feel like, but I am doing the work. I am trying to confront this thing, but it's just sitting there with me. Why can't I seem to get past this event that has happened in my life? And also remember during our conversations, I shared with everyone that the impact of the grief that we feel for the loss is directly correlated to the relationship that you held with that lost object, person, or thing. And so the amount of love, the intensity of the grief will match the intensity of the love that you have for that person. And so sometimes it's not so easy to get past that. And so how do we know when we're kind of feeling stuck? So some things that we might want to look at is the way that we are dealing with our emotions. Are we feeling more irritable than what would be normally expected? Sometimes we might find that we are obsessing over the past. Sometimes we have these irrational fears about the loss. And then sometimes that we are just simply overreacting to the smallest thing. You to just jump to making this one conclusion that anytime you see someone or have an interaction with someone who seems to be presenting or manifesting some of these things that I just talked about, that we just automatically default and say, ooh, that person is stuck in grief. No, not necessarily so. We need to do some homework. We may need to ask some questions. But if we know that someone has dealt with a significant loss, a spouse, a brother, a grandmother, a parent, a child, and we have a relationship with that person and we know that they seem to be a little out of character, then we can, that might raise the red flag in the back of our minds that they have not really resolved that issue of grief. And so hopefully the time together tonight, I can just give you a few tips, offer you some encouragement that might help you along your journey. And this, some of the things that I have had to do along my journey, and you all know that I have been very transparent in this process, and I have been very vulnerable and have shared a lot of rough patches and some of the obstacles that I have faced along my journey as I am still on that journey trying to heal in the process of learning how to embrace the pain from the loss of my dad and my brother and live a life that honors the two of them. So one way we can begin to address our issues. You guys know me, it's always going to go back to giving yourself permission. We want to give ourselves permission to have the grieving process. Remember, it's your own individual experience. Yes, it was my mother, my siblings and I who all had this, and the other members of my family, we all had this same event. But every single one of us has had to have our own journey in the process of healing from this event. I can't tell my mother how to grieve. My mother can't tell me how to grieve. I can't tell my sister how to process it. She can't tell me how to process it. We must allow each person their own individual process. And so what that may mean is that we might have to lower our expectations. The expectations that we have for ourselves, the expectations that we have of others. Remember, we can't compare it to anyone else's way. We can't find fault with how someone may do it. And so we may think that you're somehow doing it, someone else is doing it better than you because they seem to be tolerating it better than you are. But when you lower your expectations on how you are supposed to grieve, then you allow the feelings and the emotions that are associated with that grief to kind of ebb and flow naturally, meaning giving them the space that they need to kind of take and process. Because remember, we talked about also emotions and how what they are designed to do. I share with you within the word emotion is the word motion. So that means there's movement that needs to take place. The emotions can only move when they are given the space to move. And we have to give those emotions permission to move and do what they're designed to do. So we might need a little additional time to work through it, but if we allow ourselves the space, it will get better. And then you know what I'm going to say, be kind to yourself. Give yourself some grace for the pace. And again, after suffering a significant loss in your life of shame, of anger, and resentment are all natural and they're all a normal part of that process. But for some reason, we might be laying blame on ourselves for that death of that loved one. And it is worth remembering that in this process, you're not alone. And remember, I talked about how I really wrestled with that with my brother when he called and asked me to pick him up, and I could not do that. And I knew in my heart that I would not see my brother again. I blamed myself for that. Why didn't I just go get him? Why didn't I just, you know, be more forceful with the care management team? I asked myself all those questions. I asked God, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? But that there really was no blame to give. And so when many people go through this stage where they can't get past all of the things that they could have, would have, should have done to prevent that loved one from passing, the best thing we can do is to start taking a deep breath and to knowing that death is a natural part of life. And so we must acknowledge that not all deaths are preventable. Even changing our course of action may not have yielded a different result. So be kind to yourself and accept that sometimes death is the inevitable. And it happens even if even in doing our hardest work and our planning, it's going to happen at some point. And again, we practice self-care, giving yourself the nourishment that you need, enough sleep that you need. Start to surround yourself with that support system, and don't ignore your grief. Remember, we also talked about another form of grief where we try to ignore that it happened, that absent grief, where we just try to go on living our lives from day to day, or that mask grief where we try to mask it by just throwing ourselves into other activities. The best way to heal is to allow it to happen. Remember, one of my things is if it comes up, let it come out. So we must allow ourselves the space to do that. And then we've got to recognize the symptoms. So recognizing the symptoms of this complicated grief and of this inhibited grief are essential to the healing process. And so what are some things that we need to look out for if our grief is lasting Some people say lasting more than 6 months after the death of a loved one. Well, you all know my saying is that the grieving process never ends, but we learn to embrace it and we learn to live through it and we learn to live life that is intentional and honor it. If we find that we're unable to move and we're unable to live, then we know that something is going on. If we carry this sense of disbelief regarding the death long after it has occurred, rather than finding ourselves in a place to be able to celebrate it, and if the thought of that loss continues to carry the same carry that happened initially, after we want to consider whether or not we were stuck in that place. And then avoiding situations and activities that remind us of our loved one. And this is going to take some time to do, right? There's still some things that are a little uncomfortable for me. I went to a concert for the first time after COVID for one of my brother's friends who was doing a recording. And it hit me on my way there, all the friends of his that I was going to see that could not participate in his, and it hit me like a mat truck. And as soon as I get out the car, who do I see? But the person who MC'd, who narrated his tribute that they did on YouTube. And I was just standing there like, and where I wanted to be able to reach out and to thank them for their prayers and thank them for their presence, all that, we ended up leaving the concert early that day, and part of me was relieved because I really didn't want to have those conversations, because the ones that I did have and people were saying, oh, I miss him so much, I still think about him, it was still a little challenging for me to be able to deal with. And even still to this day, when I have conversations with people or see people and they bring him up, it's sometimes still a little challenging. And then we find ourselves sometimes getting preoccupied with the thoughts about the death. And so we want to also help ourselves not be stuck in our process by talking about it. And so I know that when God laid it on my spirit to accept the invitation of the disciples and knew that and that I'm going to do it myself, but I my voice and that the words of encouragement and me to share with others was going to be the best way for me to be able to get through this journey and to share with others. And eventually we'll get to that place to where we hear the term, not let it go to forget about it and that it exists no more, but let it go as far as the thing that the loss brings with it. And then we just want to keep trying. We don't want to give up in this process of trying to move ourselves forward out of this place that we've become stuck and not be afraid again to ask for help. And if you see that you're not being able to move, go ahead and reach out to a counselor. Go ahead and reach out, you know, to a pastor. Go ahead and reach out, you know, to a support group. But by all means, give yourself what you need to be able to process those challenging emotions. I would venture to say that trying to process the emotions that come about with grief and loss are some of the most challenging emotions that you will have ever in your life. We have traumatic events that happen. We have mass shootings. We have deaths that happen for very unseemly and seeming to be untimely reasons, but there's just something about, remember, when you're connected to that relationship, to there's just something about those emotions that sometimes you don't know how to separate them. You don't know how to categorize them. You don't know what to name them. Thus, the name of our program, not enough, because there's just not enough words to describe what can be going on and what you're feeling. You know it's something, but you can't quite put a name to it. So I hope that there was something that I said, and I know that it was a lot, but we're always racing against the clock when we're having this conversation. And so I hope that there is something said that can motivate somebody, that can lift somebody's spirit as we are spending this time together tonight. Dr. Brown, you have any feedback?
Yeah, so why don't we just do this? As you know, in working with me for many years, I'm always going to do something a little bit unexpected. So we have a couple of callers that are on the line, those who've chosen not to just listen to the recording on the air, but they've called in. So I'm going to pick a couple of them and hope that they have something to say about your comments as it relates to being stuck and getting through it. One of our callers is area code 502. I can't give out your number, but I've opened up your line, and if you have something that you'd like to share or remark, please go ahead. Caller with 502 area code. Okay. Well, then I'm going to move over to caller 704. Looks like our friend over in North Carolina. See if he has something to share. He's been on this planet for a long time, and I'm sure he's seen a whole lot of pain, grief, sadness, and probably got stuck too. What do you say, caller out of North Carolina?
Well, recently I was thinking about the death of an old person I knew real, real well. And the old person I knew was me. And changes when they happen, I see like myself going through the same grieving process that Dr. Clark talked about. I'm going through all that. But in this case, I'll be going through the stage of being comfortable being the old person I was. And when I move to the new person, guess what it's going to cause me to have to do? To change. What an uncomfortable word to use. Change.
Change, right. Change is a little unsettling, right? Change is uncomfortable. Change brings with it a feeling of uncertainty and some ambivalence. But at the end of it all, change leads to transformation, which leads to that renewing of the mind and that different person that you find yourself being at the end of all the work. And so there's so much that comes out of it. It's scary along the way, but the end result is always a good thing.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, Dr. Clark, your exercise of what you're going to take us through as we prepare to wrap ourselves up, I want to thank the people who have listened to us on a regular basis and the new folks who've just kind of chimed in. And if you're going through something, Dr. Clark, could you provide some way of communicating or connecting with you if one needed to utilize your services under a more private setting so that they can really dig into what's going on with them?
Absolutely. You can contact me at drclark.rotm@gmail.com or info@drclark.rotm.la, or you can call me at 818-646-6608. That's 818-646-6608. The website is www.rotm.la.
You know, folks, I do need to comment before Dr. Clark wraps this up. I want you to take a look at the courage when you attempt to come unstuck. Dr. Clark just got through sharing once again something that obviously is very personal to her, and it took a lot of courage, not just for her to share that today, which I'm sure it did, but if you were picturing, like I was, the day that she went to that concert, and as she got closer, the anxieties that were building up of connecting with some of the old familiar faces, knowing where they probably were going to come from. But every word of condolences also brings up that initial pain because you find yourself looking over your shoulder thinking that you are seeing the one that you lost one more time, or you can remember how they spoke to you. And so we just want to give her kudos for having that courage. And if you want to take that courage too, you're going to be in good hands. If you do, give Dr. Clark a call. Dr. Clark, go ahead and take us home now if you don't mind. And thank you.
Just take a deep breath in. Exhale out. Again, three. Out for three. And as you do that one more time, in the words of my good friend, Dr. Clifford, let's meditate on these words. Understand what is happening. Okay, the reality. I turn my head apart. Until we meet again, give yourself room to grieve. I'll stop Saturday.
You're broken down that tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a way to by feeding you, so we can walk it out. We gon' walk it out. All day. And now I know, all eyes like to stay. All eyes on the parade. All eyes on. And I do it a thousand times again. Silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Ooh, all day, bring it to its feet. Ooh, all day.
Folks, don't forget to join us Saturday at 8 a.m. We're going to have another very unique show because what we're going to do is something called We Choose to Remember. And each caller, should you decide to call in, or you can write it by giving us a brief memory of here's what I remember the most about someone, unfortunately, that lost. Or what I loved about that job, even though they fired me anyway, or that we ran out of funds because of the COVID, who knows? But we're going to choose to remember. And yes, that may be a little bit challenging, might be a little emotional, so you might want to take a look at connecting with someone else that may be special in your life and let them know to be on standby. But we choose to celebrate the relationships that we've had and the things that have had come out of them, even though, like a lot of things, it had to come to an end. So that's going to be our special show on Saturday. And go ahead and write me. I'll look forward to sharing those with Dr. Clark so we can have a lot of fun going down memory lane only about the good times. Thank you again.
Hey.